It's Mama Bear Donita on the Mama Bear Cancer Support Show. And welcome to the Sharing Den, where we share cancer stories, products, and information to support anyone going through the journey. We'll be there for you. We'll be there with you. Now, welcome Mama Bear Donita.
Hi, it's Mama Bear Donita, and welcome to my Mama Bear Cancer Support Show on Society Bites Radio. Today, we welcome Dara Kurtz, who's the author of Cancer Crush. Not only did author Dara survive cancer, she ultimately thrived. She is a published author, and her book, Cancer Crush, offers tips and guidance that if you, too, are going through cancer, it's a book you need. I have read it, and it is a fantastic book, and I want to welcome to the show, Dara.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
So I usually start off in telling the listeners how we know each other, but we've really only had one conversation prior to this. We met on Instagram. And I feel like it's a good thing to share with listeners because I was having a previous conversation with a marketing person that was on the air before. And even though you and I don't know each other that well, we both are offering services to cancer survivors or people going through cancer. And I feel, or caregivers, and I feel like you and I are not competitors, but we work together. And
yeah, no, I think that we're definitely not competitors. Anytime you go through a cancer diagnosis and you hear the words you have cancer and you get to the other side, I think if you're reaching out and trying to help people and share your story, it's because you want to help people. That's the ultimate goal. And for me, my book Crush Cancer is the ultimate the something good that came out of something bad. And I'm happy to be able to share my story and hopefully give someone who's going through it now maybe the hope that they need to get through it.
I agree. And that's why I did what I do. And that's why I started the website. And it's funny, though, you know, I love your book. I read it. I very much relate to it. I feel like so many people that are going through cancer can relate to the things that you wrote. I was laughing in my head, you know, just chuckling along like, wow, you really nailed it. And,
Thank you.
It takes a lot. It takes a special talent to be able to take those words and put them into on a page where people understand them. Even if you haven't gone through cancer, you would understand it. You know, you're a good writer. So
thank you. I appreciate that.
It's vivid. You know, you feel like you're like right there with you. And, you know, I feel like that's an important part of going through the cancer journey is feeling like somebody's right there beside you that isn't obligated to be by you. You know, like your family's kind of obligated and your friends are kind of obligated. But if you can find that book or that one thing that really helps you get through it, then that's all you need. And I feel like that's what Crush Cancer is about. And so tell us about your background. Tell me about you.
Well, I was a financial advisor before I heard those terrifying words, you have cancer. And after I went through my journey, going back to work and thinking about money all the time just didn't seem that important. And I always say that life has broken down into two categories. There's BC and AC. And BC is before cancer and AC is after cancer. And it really, going through cancer of any kind of diagnosis obviously changes you. And I had always wanted to write. I'd always wanted to write books and major in communications, but I definitely was good at finance and good at all of those types of skills that you need when you're doing that kind of work. But after going through my breast cancer journey, I just thought, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not waiting. I'm going to do
really
it now.
It changes you.
It changes you. Yeah. So that's when I started my blog, Crazy Perfect Life, with the intent to find my voice and start writing. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't have any specific goals or really an agenda, and it just sort of happened. People really, I think it touched a nerve. People really liked it, and one thing led to the next. And again, I'm so happy to be able to have Crush Cancer to offer hope and hopefully inspire people that are going through their own journey.
What do you feel like when you had cancer, like you, like BC and AC, you know, like I feel like I was one person, and I'm at the core, I'm the same person. But I think when you go through sometimes life, you get a little sidetracked and you go down some paths that are good. They're not bad paths. They're just maybe more intense or more than you need. And I feel like after cancer, you really find you. Like, I don't know about you, but I know for me and my treatment, my first chemo, I had triple negative breast cancer. My first chemo was the TAC, the TAC regimen, which now they break up and they only have the AC and or the whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly how they do it, but, you know, they break it up. Well, I had mine. My port was broken. So they had to go in through my veins, which was really uncomfortable. That red devil going through your veins is just really a lot to take on. And anybody that's listening that's had the red devil knows.
I always say it looks like something that should be mixed with vodka and called an afternoon delight, but it's anything but delightful.
you are right about that. But I feel like I laid down in that bed and I couldn't get up out of bed. I couldn't barely make it to the bathroom. I wanted to talk. I wanted to move, but I couldn't. And I remember laying there, my chemo knocked me out. I was, I think, exactly the same age as you are when I was diagnosed and then I was just so, I was a mom of two boys. I was always moving, always at soccer, football, or water polo, or whatever the event of the day was. I was shuffling back and forth, full speed ahead. I was a teacher before I was a stay-at-home mom, and then I was a stay-at-home mom. But when I say my kids were tough, like, let me just tell you, like, they were poster child for ADHD and, you know, just every day was phone calls from the school, da, da, da. I love my kids. They're great. They're wonderful now. They're grown adults. They have, you know, they've made their way in the world. And I've always loved them. I didn't mean to say I just love them now. But it was just one of those times where I just was laying there in the bed and I was thinking, oh, my gosh, like, this is crazy. I've got to simplify my life because do I care if I have the newest outfit? Well, kind of a little bit. I don't care enough to do this again. So, you know, you kind of clean up your life a little bit. And I think in finding your voice and becoming what's true to you, in some ways, it's a real blessing. I mean, nobody chooses that path. Nobody wants to hear those words. But, you know, you find yourself.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think basically what I'm hearing you say is perspective. Going through cancer gives you perspective. You go through very hard times that I didn't realize how hard life could be. I didn't realize that I would have days that could be that hard just to get through sometimes 1 hour at a time, 1 minute at a time.
Right.
And so I think when you are healthy and then you go through something like this that causes you to realize how hard life can be, you walk away from that with perspective, with the ability to recognize what's really important. And that's what you're saying, is that cancer gave you the ability to kind of maybe reevaluate your priorities and see what you want to do with the rest of your life. And time is our most precious commodity. And so I think reevaluating that, how you want to spend your time, who you want to be with, those are some of the good positive takeaways that can come from a difficult experience.
I agree. And I think it's good to know that. I think it's good, especially if a listener is in the process of going through their treatments right now, to give them the hope and to know that things will improve. You know, I mean, not 100% all the time, but mostly things improve.
You can get to the other side. And that might mean different things to different people, but every day, regardless of what you're facing, you do have a choice. You can sink or swim. You can decide to move forward with the day that you have in front of you and make the most of that time, that moment. And so I think no matter what you're feeling, no matter what someone is facing, they do always have the ability to make that active choice, although it's hard. It's hard when you're not feeling good, 100%. Mm-hmm.
Right. And it takes a long time to feel better. So, you know, it's just baby steps. And things like your book are great to have on your nightstand or your coffee table when you need a break and you need to pick me up. And you're like, what do I just need to escape. I need somebody that can relate to me, because I've had so many people tell me, you know, their families at one point in time, they just felt like they didn't mean to, it wasn't intentional, but it was like, now you're done with your treatments. You're all done with cancer. You're like, no.
I think that's one of the hardest times, that moment when you are done with your treatment and you are told to kind of go back to living your life. Because I remember feeling so anxious and vulnerable in that moment, because I mentally was definitely not ready. The doctors could fix, they could see the problem that needed to be fixed, but they couldn't see all the things that I was saying to myself. They couldn't see what was going on in my head. And so there was a lot of work that I personally needed to do after I was done with the treatments to deal with the fear, that mm-hmm. four-letter word that I think everyone who has gone through a cancer diagnosis feels. And you have to make peace with it. You have to kind of push yourself through some of those hard places in order to get to the other side and deal with what has happened.
Yeah. I agree. Do you feel like that's part of what inspired you to write your book?
You mean my personal fear, the mm-hmm. fear that I was feeling? I felt like I had a lot to say. And really, let me take you back to the beginning. When I was first diagnosed with breast cancer, everyone was sending me flowers. And at one point, we had over 20 different flower arrangements in our house. Wow. And it must have been orchid season, because I literally had like 6 or 7 different orchids on top of all the flowers, which they were all beautiful. But the guidance counselor at school called. And at the time, my children were 11 and 14. And I have 2 daughters. And the guidance counselor at school called and said, Dara, you've got to get rid of the flowers. They are causing your youngest daughter a lot of anxiety. Your house looks like a funeral parlor. And she just doesn't even want to be there. You've got to get rid of them today. And so I did. I got rid of the flowers, except for I did keep the orchids, because I did really like the orchids.
They are pretty.
But what I needed was not flowers. I needed hope. I needed inspiration. I needed someone to tell me how to get through one of the hardest times in my life. And nobody knew how to tell me to do that. And that's why I wrote this book. It's the book that I needed when I heard the words, you have cancer, that wasn't out there. And so that was really my inspiration behind it.
That is great. And you are, oh my gosh, I can relate to what you're saying 110%. It's absolutely, you do need that. And my father passed right before I was diagnosed, and he had had cancer. It's not what took him, but he had, it may have ultimately made him, he had a throat cancer and he had radiation on his throat. And this was 21 years ago. He started his chemo the day my youngest son was born. Mm. So 21 years ago, they didn't do the same precautions that they do now on the throat area. So his heart was exposed mm. to that radiation. And I think his heart is what, well, I know
I'm sorry
his heart
to hear
was
that.
Took him. But I needed him, you know,
yeah.
I needed him to tell me I was going to be okay and that it was going to be okay, you know, and it was so, I didn't have that, but I did. I had a book at the time, and of course yours wasn't published yet, but your book is that, you know, it's the, if you need that one person that's not there for you, or you don't have anybody that's there for you, then I absolutely recommend that you get, Dara's book, and you keep it beside you. You don't have to read it all at once. You just keep it beside you when you need you. And that's, I mean, I feel like it is just such a wonderful book. And I'm not just saying that because you're on the show. I really feel
like
it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Sure. How long did it take you to write it?
It took me about a year to write it. from beginning to end, but I had started my blog about a year and a half before. And so I had, I think, been fine tuning my skills and been writing about a lot of the same topics. And so then when I sat down to actually write the book, I had been thinking about everything over and over again in my mind for a long time. But then when you actually sit down and write the format, and that's when the tips came, the ability to give people 50 tips and takeaways so that they would be able to use it as not only inspiration and hope, but also I wanted to provide a lot of information that I had needed.
Right.
That's really when the idea to have the 50 tips came. And then the tribe tips, which are tips that a family member or friend can use that will help them help a family member or friend, because I think that's really important as well.
And I love how you labeled the tribe. That's a relatively new term. It wasn't really around when I went through mine, but it's you know,
gotta
it's
have
the village.
Tribe.
Yeah,
it's
you gotta.
Yeah,
it's mandatory. And it's funny. Do you feel like the people? Did you have one or two people pop into your life during that time that just kind of popped right back out? That you're like, wow, I don't really talk to them. They were just here for me then, and that's what their purpose was. I mean, it was just It's kind of funny how it works out later, and as you look in your past. And who inspires you? Who do you look up to?
My kids definitely inspire me. They help me be the best person that I can be. They help me be the best Dara.
Right.
I mean, they inspire me to be the best version of myself. But I'll tell you, every Friday I volunteer in the hospital chemo room where I was treated. And the patients that I see every Friday, they inspire me because they remind me every week about how lucky I am and how blessed I am to be where I am. And I don't want to forget that. They keep me grounded and they inspire me to live my life the best that I can live, because I'm lucky to be where I am living the life that I have. And I don't want to take it for granted. And I don't want to forget that.
Right. You don't. I know what you mean. You do. I've spoken with several people who are like, I don't ever want to remember my treatment. I just want to move forward. I just want to be over and done and move on. And I think to myself, well, maybe a little judgmental on my part, but I think to myself, oh, you've missed the whole lesson. Like, you know, take your time and, you know, you have no choice but to go through this, and it's not easy. So, you know, with that said, there are people that have a whole lot harder time and a whole lot easier time. But I really feel like it's just, I'm so sorry. I lost my train of thought. My cat just jumped in my lap and she's wet from the rain. I'm sorry. I got completely derailed there. Wasn't expecting that. Back on task. How did you research your book?
I didn't have to do any research. I lived it every single day. So this book is written from my heart. It's my story. It's what I went through. It's everything I wish I had known when I was diagnosed. And I think that anyone going through their own cancer journey will find it to be very helpful, hopefully.
Right. And I would agree. And when you were having your ideas so you basically took your blog and went from your blog to transformation into a book. And, but you have several things published. You have,
my blog really isn't, I had written a few blog posts here and there about things, but all the information in my book is really, it's the first time it's been published. So it's not, I didn't really repurpose a bunch of blogs when I did the book. It just, I think when you start writing and having a blog, Crazy Perfect Life, and writing regularly kind of helped me think through things so that I was able to formulate it in the manner that I was able to formulate it.
Right. Well, and did it help as a catalyst, as a reminder of like, oh, I remember that day I went through this, or that day I went through that? And, you know, I found that my blog's not published, but I feel like the blog that I kept when I was going through helped me later to remember more specific details that my brain had tried to gloss over because it wasn't that sexy.
Yeah. You know, I remember when I first went through, when I was diagnosed and I was about to start chemo, my husband, he knew that I had always wanted to write a book, and he brought me a gift, and it was a brand new laptop. And he said, Dara, here's the laptop. You can take it with you to chemo. You can sit there and write your book, write your story. Well, I didn't even open that laptop until at least 6 months after I was done with everything. So I didn't even start writing at all. I didn't do Caring Bridge. I didn't write emails. I just didn't want to have any part of any of it, because it was just, it took so much energy and effort to just get live through the day. Yeah.
Just to live.
So I wasn't even, I wasn't in a place. If I had been writing then, nobody would probably want to read anything that I had to write at that time, because it wouldn't have been able to be quality, inspiring work. It would have been me.
I'm laughing because my blog is so negative. I mean, I read back on it now, and I was like, I was so negative. I was just like, no, I refuse to accept this. People are, poor me, woe is me. I'm so sad. All these terrible things are happening. And it was just like, goes on and on. And at one point in my blog, I talk about, I refuse to be positive, because people are like, well, you should be more positive. I'm like, I don't want to be positive right now. Mm-hmm. You be positive. You can't. I was just really obnoxious. Like, I thought, wow, I was really not in a good place. And so I'm glad. I mean, that's kind of why I asked you, because I thought to myself, I wonder if it, and you knew that, you knew instinctively that yours, it would have been more not inspirational and positive. It would be more negative. And that's exactly what mine was. And I feel like, again, I feel like we have lived a parallel life a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you have two girls, but I've got two boys, and we were diagnosed the same age. And I know that cancer really kind of takes you back and catches you, but we both move forward and trying to do, you know, the better things that we can do. Real quick, how can you get your book? How can a reader get a hold of your book?
The easiest place to get my book is on Amazon, where everything is, right? Just go to Amazon and type in Crush Cancer, and that's definitely the easiest way to get it. There's also a supplemental workbook that I wrote that goes chapter by chapter for people who want to dig a little deeper. And it's definitely not a requirement. You can just buy the book Crush Cancer. You don't have to get the workbook, but the workbook is there if someone wants to answer questions and think through a lot of things that the chapter that they have read, it corresponds chapter by chapter.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I don't know about the workbook. I'll have to find out about that. And then she's available. Your email is dara@crazyperfectlife.com, all together, lowercase, no spaces. Your website is www.crazyperfectlife.com. Twitter is @crazyperlife, perf life.
Crazy P-E-R-F life.
Yes.
Crazy perf life.
And then Facebook is Crazy Perfect Life. And I'm so pleased to have you on today, Dara. I hope you can get some more things in the future and published, and we can have you on again, and we can keep this going. I'm going to have you up on my website too. So if the listeners want to get a hold of that, I'll have a link for them to be able to go right straight to your book. But thank you for being with us today. I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you for all the work you do to help people. And I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Right.
Barely wait until next time. Always pause for love.